Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Fahim Razak, the Chief Technical Officer at Analog Folk.
Yeah, I've worked in digital agencies predominantly ever since 99, when I moved down to London and got my first job at AKQA. And always since then, we've found people who have always, been working in digital agencies. Agencies have a special vibe about them, and some of our clients, demand us to be pretty reactive to requests. So people who work in agencies, especially developers, are, a particular mindset. They don't mind working, the hours to get something done because they know they're part of a team, and they're going to be looked after, and they just love, doing great work. So for us, when we look, when we look to hire, we don't really care too much about a degree, that kind of background. What we look for is, have they got experience of working in an agency because of all, the reasons we just said. And if they haven't, we have found people who are coming from a consultancy background, and those guys do have degrees, but their consultancy backgrounds for us are a lot more structured. They're a lot more, the projects are a lot more lengthy. There's, steps that they have to follow, and they're pretty rigid about those as well. So we kind of have, a bit of a, we um and ah about hiring people from consultancy backgrounds, and sometimes it's worked, other times it hasn't. There's two places where we look. We've gone out a few times and hired people straight from university. If that the role is looking for, a recent graduate or a junior. And also we've used like training academies like General Assembly and people like that, who, reskill people or in careers and reskill them into tech or, a skill in digital, so UX design. And it's really interesting, coming out of university, you have a good fundamental education behind you. You'll come out with a programming language like Java, for example, which we at Analog Folk don't use that often. So you already have something that's, irrelevant to us, potentially relevant to the market, I'm not sure. And then also experience and skill-wise, it does take us a lot of time to mentor and look after them. But they also come out with, pretty, unrealistic salary expectations or career growth expectations. They want to be, seniors in a year, not having done anything, which is interesting for us to try and reset those expectations. And we get that similarly for people coming out of General Assembly. Again, they have pretty unrealistic expectations because they've, all of a sudden trained to become a web developer in 3 months, and now they're suddenly wanting, a mid-wage salary and a specific job title, where really we see them coming out of General Assembly as juniors. And that's my opinion. General Assembly will probably tell you otherwise. but they're the issue. That's the issues we have, with universities and retraining academies. And we have to reset those expectations, because the things that we do, are generally front end and back end and everything in between. Mobile, and even with things like VR now, we've got lots of different channels. that you will end up building experiences for. And to do that well and to be able to look at a project and look down the road and be able to handle or even flag and highlight all the risks to people, that sometimes those risks aren't even in your, you know, in your skill set to actually call out. There may be a UX risk, or, you know, you've worked on a project before where you had to do things a certain way in terms of project management, so you call those out. So because we're at the end of that, you know, the proverbial production line, developers, I mean, we get to experience everything that goes on, you know, it all impacts us. So we tend to build up a lot of knowledge, and that knowledge takes time to build. So that's why I say, you know, people have unrealistic expectations of, you know, climbing the ranks. You know, I love to see people just get stuck in front end, back end, and just take it all and experience it and just grow project by project. Of course, we make mistakes, but learn, you know, by those mistakes and take your experiences forward and, you know, keep going. And don't throw your toys out the pram, you know, when you're not getting that promotion that you wanted because you've been in the agency for 6 months.
But, you know, there's more to it. And certainly for technical people, I think there's more expected of them now than ever with regards to not just understanding the fundamentals and actually being able, skilled enough to do the technical side of the work, but also you have to be able to align what you're doing with business outcomes and be able to effectively communicate with, you know, a hierarchy or people who aren't technical, and for it to be articulated in a clear way. So yeah. I think that those are the skills that are probably soft skills, if you want to call them that, but nonetheless probably the differentiator from just a good technical person to someone, you know, who starts to progress.
Yeah, absolutely. It is those soft skills. And even those soft skills, you know, I find that are not necessarily taught very well, you know, to people. We're taught, you know, how to be good developers. We can go on conferences. We can go on, you know, training days and all that kind of stuff. We can watch things online. There's plenty of material there to grow your technical skills. But when it comes to your soft skills, how you listen, how you talk, how you present, you know, managing conflict and negotiating with people, those, there are courses, but sometimes I feel so many of those are just too business orientated and, you know, not actually very interesting. They, you know, I've been on countless presentation courses, but they're pretty stale. You know, sending people to those is in my opinion a waste of time and a waste of money, really. You know, yes, do a presentation and just do it in front of people. You'll learn, you know, tenfold, hundredfold. It's a great experience, but there are training programs out there which are slightly left field, which, you know, probably people should go on instead. I recently went on a NLP course, neuro-linguistic programming.
I think our head of talent's been on a couple of those, actually. Yeah.
It's amazing. It, you know, it teaches you how to listen, how to talk, and really understand what people are telling you, basically. You don't have to guess. But there are, you know, in that similar vein, there are ways of presentation courses are very, very different. I went on a great one when I was at Crayon a few years ago. It was run by the Royal Theatre Company, or Royal Shakespeare Company in London. So it was all very theatrical. It had nothing to do with PowerPoint, believe it or not. You know, so those soft skills are really important. They can be developed, of course, sent on, you know, with the right training. And then, you know, as you mentioned, setting those expectations and clearly communicating those expectations and the timelines, really, and hoping people are going to buy into that.
Yeah. It's an interesting kind of cycle, and I think, you know, it really brings us into a bit of a full circle as the kind of how they are prepared even before you know, the initial training and before they become junior people. We were talking about, you know, the education system and how that is probably where we kind of are hitting the source of the problem for a lot of these kind of, whether it's expectations or, you know, lack of certain skills. You know, you were telling an interesting story actually. Was it about your niece, was it, that you were talking about before? Yeah, I think that it's just an interesting one to share actually. And, you know, and we'll kind of develop it from there. But
yeah, you know, I went home, you know, in the summer. Home for me is Nottingham, and I was sat in my parents' living room, and my brother had, you know, he knows I'm in tech and in IT. They don't really know what I do. I made the internet according to my AKQA job title many years ago, and you know, he asked me to have a look at the curriculum for his daughter's IT. Course for GCSE in IT, because apparently she's very good at computers and IT, and her school wanted her to take the IT GCSE. So I had a look at, you know, the curriculum, and I was absolutely amazed by what it included and what it didn't include. You know, there were still things in there that I was taught when I was in school, so how to network, you know, computers together. Or what I also call, you know, business admin, you know, the ability to do Word documents, mail merge and PowerPoints and, you know, Excel spreadsheets, those kind of things. They weren't teaching anything else. You know, I was looking for any signs of Arduino or, you know, electronics, things like virtual reality, you know, if you want to use some current tech buzzwords, you know, artificial intelligence in there and what that might mean in the future. Or just general, you know, website development or anything like that. But none of that was included. And, you know, I was amazed, you know, there's people going into, you know, GCSEs in the subject that I'm pretty passionate about. But that curriculum is so old, you know, really, really old. She's going to the same school as I did when I was a kid. And I'm pretty sure that subject was taught by the same people who taught me.
Right. And it's, you know, I was saying earlier as well that I think there's a massive, I think just general issue with the kind of education system and kind of how the skills that young people need now. And, you know, we were saying that the kids now, they know more than what they're being taught on the IT side. Which is frightening, because, you know, technology is now kind of the biggest industry and it's where the demand for the skills is. So where's the kind of focus on that, you know, and why isn't that kind of being taken care of? You know, I wish I had the answers, but I do think that someone may have, and there's certainly an area for disruption there. But I think, you know, we look at the rate of change of technology and it's pretty simple that it's just outperformed everything, and it's happened so quickly that, you know, publicly funded establishments just don't have the means to keep up anymore.
No. So my son's three. You know, he knows how to, you know, turn on the iPad, find YouTube, go to his favorite cartoons and just watch those. You know, if he could, he would watch those all day. Fortunately, we don't let him do that. He can swipe through my Apple Watch. You know, he can turn on all sorts of things that I had no idea existed. Kids intrinsically just adapt to things that you put in front of them. You know, they are so open and they will just play with what is there, right? So technology, they can learn that. You know, they're going into schools knowing more than the people who are teaching those subjects, especially if the curriculum is exactly what I just talked about, networking and, you know, doing documents. You're right, technology just moves so fast and schools don't have the budget, but I think fundamentally that, you know, the issue that, you know, I'm talking about, well, not seeing enough women coming to tech and not seeing enough people from ethnic minorities getting to tech starts right back at schools. You know, we are involved in a lot of initiatives at AF to bring people into the workplace, but they are, you know, adults, and it's specifically my focus is looking at schools, and we need to look deeper in there and look at what schools could do and how they could adapt their education system to really create, you know, people coming out of those systems with the relevant skills for the future. You know, everyone's talking about AI and how it's going to replace jobs. Well, from looking at kids now, you know, AI is already going to replace those kids' jobs. They're not going to leave schools with anything relevant.
It's interesting and clearly an issue. The diversity piece that you kind of touched on as well, is that just a simple, economic issue that, you know, that some of the schools are doing a better job at giving people access to the technology and the skills than others, and it really just kind of boils down to an economic issue? Kind of what's your experience has been? I know it's something that you feel quite strongly about. With your background, you don't tend to see people with your kind of ethnic background, working in your kind of industry and sector. Obviously, I think, we always want to encourage kind of diversity in all workplaces because, you know, as we know, with getting that more rounded view on things is always a positive. So what's kind of your take on that?
So, yeah, mine was kind of a pure fluke, right? I mean, my generation, my parents wanted me to become the traditional, get into those traditional roles that they always thought would be, suitable for their children. And they were, doctors, lawyers, business people, any one of those three that you could go back to Pakistan and actually be fine. I was the black sheep of the family and went into IT, into computing. I went into computer science, and I remember my parents just looking at me going, what are you going to do with computer science? Because, of course, the internet wasn't around then. There were just these big boxes. But I was fascinated by it. And that is my generation. I don't know many Pakistanis from my family and my network who got into computing. But that's all changed. You know, the generation of my niece, my cousins, my nephews, they're being allowed to go into whatever they want, right? Because it's people like me who are the parents now, and we're enabling our kids to just be free and do whatever we want to do. And I think, it could be a funding issue, but it could also be the way that these subjects are being taught in schools. You know, how are they being added to the curriculum, and what ways are they being taught, and who are they being taught by? Are you being taught by somebody who is running classes, who is a bit of a, an all-rounder, knows many subjects, not so particularly passionate about tech or electronics or, IT? Is that how it works? I mean, it's very difficult to really get into schools and understand what's happening and talk to people and about change and what might be happening down the horizon. Obviously, government agencies, it's pretty difficult to get in there. We are being a part of the, I don't know if you're aware, the Beamer Digital Day initiative. So we go into a school and it's really talking to kids in schools all about advertising, digital advertising, what it's like to work in the advertising sector, what it's like to involve digital and the kind of jobs that you have. So we're almost the first people they ever see who comes in and excites them about, jobs involving technology and advertising.
Also, I think the concept of kind of corporate responsibility, do you think that is something that maybe we can look at there for some solutions as well, and having a greater impact? I know that we're always in need of, great technical people. Do we look at the corporate responsibility stuff to kind of do more and maybe even approach the schools at the source to kind of inspire them and give them a little bit more of a kind of clear cut insight into the skills that you actually need to be learning?
Yeah, I would, I would find it amazing if agencies could lend a hand, if you want to put it that way, to the government and reach out and say, hey, look, this is what kids need to be, being taught. This should be part of the curriculum, whether that be, things about marketing. So not just tech, we could look at the entire spectrum: strategy, design, user experience, technology, but also things like, entrepreneurship, right? How to start a business with tech and digital. How to manage that business once you've got one, looking after finances and managing your money, because let's face it, they don't teach us how to manage money in schools. And I'm pretty sure all of us would be, in a lot healthier places if we knew leaving school how to manage our money, or what very little money we had back when we were 16. But, those kind of subjects, I would love for the agencies to, really push forward and try and make an impact on schools.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think as with anything, it's just guidance, isn't it? People struggle with it, and certainly kids do. Not everyone can just kind of figure things out. There is no clarity on what they definitely need to do. It's kind of like there's clarity on how to pass exams.
Absolutely.
But there's no clarity on, how to actually build a career and what is actually beneficial. And, why is that so difficult for people to kind of, say? And for some reason, it's almost like people hide behind it, behind this kind of, air of mystery, whether it's to make sure that, they don't take our jobs or something. But, whenever someone asks me about, my career or, how I got into it, I'm fully transparent about this. I was like, yeah, so what have you learned so far? Right, don't worry about any of that. This is what you need to do. Like, why can't that be a little bit more obvious? I feel like you could write, each job in a blog post. You could literally write, here's some steps on what to do and what to not, what to avoid and what not to worry about. Peace of mind.
It's like having a mentor, right? You get a great mentor, someone who's been where you want to go, has been doing it, smashed it, and you want to replicate that success. So you have a mentor and you basically share what you want to do, right? And they'll push you in the right direction. They're not going to do it for you, but they map it out and point you in the right direction. And it's your hard work and then your effort after that. If you get stuck, you always go back to your mentor and you ask for help. You ask for a little bit of guidance, and they're there to give you that, right?
Fame, I'm conscious of time, so I don't want to keep you for too long. But it's been really interesting talking with you. Moving forward, I know we talked a lot about kind of the youth and producing talent. You've obviously been a talent yourself and had success. If you were to kind of keep it broad and loose about some of the things that you've held true, what are some of the consistencies that you feel you've held with you throughout your career that have allowed you to progress? I'm not talking about specific skills, but I think more about just the approach that you've taken to things that you think have allowed you to continue to progress and have the success that you have had.
Yeah, fantastic question. I think one of my answers is what you just said, right? Being curious and being nosy. Being curious is magnificent. It's a great skill to have. And you've always got to be curious about, the industry, your sector, where it's going. You've got to know what's happening today, what's going to happen in the future, right? Because that will kind of give you a roadmap of the things that, you will need to learn. And, you will always keep learning. Don't ever stop learning. That's, I heard a quote, you stop learning, you basically die, which is interesting. But always be curious and stick your nose in and get involved, because it will, you will see where your industry is going, and from there, you'll find out the things that you are passionate about, in terms of your own career, where you want to go. Do you want to be this type of person, that type of person, a different type, whatever, and it's going to be different from where you are now. Person you're going to be in 2 years' time and 5 years' time is going to be different. So you've got to be always testing new things and trying new things and pushing yourself outside of your own comfort zone, because then you truly grow. You'll get the things that you want to achieve in life. And, you being curious is a massive part of that. I guess those are, for me, the key things. I've always been interested in technology, in my sector and what is happening. And I've, also try out the things that you're learning, go make things for yourself. So don't just learn, go make things, go push them out there. I'm massively interested in e-commerce. So I run some e-commerce stores, I'm into drop shipping. So all these ways of, you know, running businesses online that you are learning and doing for other people, well, go try that out yourself. Go see how it actually works. And the things that you learn are incredible and will help you grow as well.
Awesome, mate. Fame, thank you, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.